What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
Levels. And we are coming at you with Brooke's pick of Sinners from 2025. Very happy that you picked this movie.
Me too.
Besides the obvious reasons, what made you finally fall on this one?
Rewatched it with my dad a couple months ago, month ago, and oh man, just really good movie. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we both enjoy this one. All
That's
right,
pretty much it.
cool. Yeah. All right. Well, easy enough. Before we talk about the movie, though, we will kick off our news and booze. Full disclosure, I've been busy tearing apart my fucking fridge for the last 2 nights, so I didn't look up any news. I have like one small thing, but it's like nothing crazy. But anyways, what are you drinking tonight?
I got a couple Coors seltzers on deck.
Oh, my
I got the
favorite.
ch cherry and orange.
Nice. You
Yeah.
had them before?
I think I've had a version of them before, but I don't know if
Yeah.
I had like the slushy ones.
Okay.
My grape ones weren't cold, so I haven't tried that one yet.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, the slushy ones are good.
yeah. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Cowbell Brewing Company's Hazy Days Juicy IPA.
Nice.
And I have a farmer's daughter, blonde ale. For after. And what are your last four watched?
Last four watched.
Did I give you access to share?
I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, I think I did.
Let's see. I watched Milk and Cereal finally.
Nice.
Because Obsession came out last. This past weekend. I mean, I probably won't get to the theater to watch it, but at least I knocked this off. Pretty good movie for, his first short film.
Yeah.
I love that they couldn't get any distribution for it, so they said fuck it and released it on their YouTube channel.
Yeah. I think it was
It
like an.
has like, I think
Oh, go
it
ahead.
has like over 2 million views on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
It's like an $800 budget.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
just
Yeah.
a fucking massive micro budget. It's funny that you watched it because remember the other day I said I have an idea, but it's gonna be something different. I was gonna pick that movie.
Really?
Yeah,
Okay.
because Obsession's gotten so much hype, and
Yeah.
I thought it'd be cool to do that and then like have a discussion on how like YouTube filmmakers are kind of exploding right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna save that for another time. But
Cool.
I didn't even know you watched it, so that's cool.
Finally watched Marty Supreme. It's been on Prime for a couple of weeks now. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I just thought it was kind of mid. There was
Yeah.
just so much going on, like story-wise, different stories going on, and
Yeah.
I feel like Timmy like pushed this movie so fucking hard for the Oscars, and I feel like it just put this pedestal on this movie for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would rather fucking watch that's Balls of Fury, honestly, than this movie. I thought the acting was fine. Like, I'm not surprised that this movie didn't win any awards. Watched Police Story for the
Nice.
first time. It's on Criterion Collection. Or channel, sorry. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch this movie again. Definitely gonna pick it for the pod.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, it's so good, man.
Is it?
It's like the one scene they literally shut down a mall, and there's like so much glass breaking that they were gonna call this Glass Story just
Oh,
because.
really?
And there's one scene, action scene, and they do like they show in the movie like three different angles of it, like over and over again, because they only had one shot to do it, and it was like just insane. Jackie's fucking amazing, man.
Yeah.
Then randomly throw in Saving Silverman. I
Nice.
hadn't had it logged on my letterbox yet. It was on my watch list, so had to rent it, but it was worth it. Fucking such a stupid movie, but just so nostalgic. And
Yeah.
yeah, I can't believe it came in like 2001. Like, if that feels like
Yeah.
a 2005 to 6 movie, like, yeah, I used to watch movies so much.
It's fucking
But
25 years old. That's gross.
yeah, it is. Yeah. And other than that, I've been watching more TV, kind of finishing up TV shows. I started the show Widow's Bay on Apple TV.
Yeah, I saw you mention that.
Really fucking good show. It's scary, it's hilarious. I think you'd like it.
Yeah. All right. I'll check it out. Is there anybody in it? Like,
Matthew Reese, he seems like a pretty popular actor. I feel like I may have seen him. Name. Steven Root is in it as well,
okay.
and a couple other like kind of oh that person, you know,
Yeah.
no one like f outstanding like famous, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's good. Definitely
Nice.
recommend it.
All right.
What about you?
Cool. I last Friday, the twins were gone to my parents, and then Hunter was gone to Sarah's parents, so it was just us and Brady. And he's been fucking itching to watch Five Nights at Freddy's 2, so we threw that on. It's not great. I like the first one better, but I don't know. Like I said in my review, like watching it with a child who's obsessed with the games and the lore and the backstory and everything. Much like the first one, it kind of helped with the enjoyment of it a little bit, but even Brady said he liked the first one better. So, but I think they've set it up for a third one. It'll be
Nice.
interesting to see how that goes. Then I watched Undertone.
Nice.
I know a lot of people don't like it. I didn't hate it, but it's definitely not
Yeah,
great.
it saw it. I think it's available on one of the streaming sites, I think, or I saw it
Yeah.
on Apple TV. I was
Yeah.
gonna watch it, but it was like at the middle of the day, and I was like, I feel like I need to save this for like a
Yeah.
dark kind of,
It's a
setting.
nighttime movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd almost recommend watching it with headphones on.
That's what I've heard. Yeah,
Yeah.
like almost kind of similar to, Sean Fennessy kind of compared it to Skinamarink.
Okay, I still haven't fucking watched that movie.
Like he watched Undertone like on a cell phone, like with headphones on, and
Okay.
different vibe. Same with like
Yeah.
Skinamarink, just yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Then I watched They Will Kill You. That movie is so much fun. If you get the opportunity to watch it, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's Kill Bill meets Ready or Not,
Yeah.
which is what everybody says it's compared to. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Thousands of people can't be wrong, but I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's not a perfect movie, but it was a good time. And then I watched Eenie Meenie.
Okay.
Came out last year. I've been wanting to watch it because it's got Samara Weaving in it, and we all know I love Samara Weaving. Definitely not one of her best movies, but it was okay.
Okay.
It's kind of like Baby Driver, but with a female lead instead. Yeah. I haven't watched a whole lot, but okay. For the news, like I said, don't really have a lot. The only thing I wanted to ask was, did you see what the popcorn buckets are going to be for Scary Movie?
I saw that I think yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
there's
it's so
going
funny.
to be three different sizes of fully functional bongs for
Oh,
your
they're
pop.
fully functional.
That's what it said.
Okay.
So
We'll
I
see.
don't know. We'll see, but
I feel like they're going to be plastic, not glass, though.
Yeah, but you there's plastic bongs.
I guess. Yeah.
I
That's
used to
true.
smoke a plastic bong back in
Well, then it's out there.
the day. But yeah, I just thought it was really funny, and We'll see how functional they are. What we got for 4Ks?
4Ks. So for 4Ks, we got Speed Racer, Steelbook.
Okay.
We got Ginger Snaps. Pretty cool cover.
Yeah, it is.
We got the Demoniacs, Demoniacs, whatever, I don't know. We got Scarlet Steelbook. We got The Bride, which I've started tonight and dragged myself through like 30 minutes of it. Fallout Season 2. That's another show that I got back into. Watched a couple episodes this week. It's all right. It's not great, but
Love the first season.
George Stevens, A Filmmaker's Journey. I'm not sure what that is. So we got Wizarding World 11 Film Collection.
Holy fuck.
That's
God damn,
insane.
I just bought the Harry Potter collection.
We got Avatar Fire and Ash.
Finally.
I'm not excited to watch that movie, but I know I have to just because I have the other ones watched.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's like 3 hours long. Arco, not sure what that is. I got Alligator Steelbook.
That's six steel book.
That is, yeah. We got The Walk. We got The Front. Body Heat on Criterion, and the Da Vinci Code.
Okay, that's a cool case.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I like that. It looks like it's a thicker steel book.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
All right, cool. All right. Well, if you got nothing else, we can dive into this movie
Let's
discussion.
do it.
All right, like we said in the intro, this week we're talking about Sinners from 2025. Starting off with the synopsis. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. This was directed by Ryan Coogler, who all of his movies have had Michael B. Jordan in them. He did Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Creed, and Fruitvale Station. I think Fruitvale Station was Michael B. Jordan's first movie,
Maybe.
if I'm
I
not
haven't seen it.
mistaken.
Was that before or after Friday Night Lights? Probably after.
Was Michael B. Jordan in Friday Night Lights?
Not the movie, the TV show.
Oh, I think it was after. Yeah, I feel
Yeah.
like it was after. But yeah, obviously this movie stars Michael B. Jordan, who plays Smoke and Stack, both
Oscar winner.
twins, Oscar winner. Should be a two-time Oscar winner
Yeah,
for both
seriously.
characters. Miles Keaton, he played Sammy. This is his first acting credit.
Insane.
Man, this guy has a voice to fucking melt your soul.
Yeah.
Jack O'Donnell played Remick. And I have Hailee Steinfeld playing Mary.
Yeah.
I have
Man,
three.
fucking Jack O'Connell's on a fucking tear the past like year, man.
It's a Jack O'Donnell. It is Jack O'Connell.
Did you say O'Donnell?
I did say O'Donnell. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he is, though. You're right.
Like just like the first movie I've seen him in that I like, Sinners. And then he is in 28 Years Later and
Yeah.
then The Bone Temple. And then he's gonna be in the next Godzilla X Kong movie, and then he's
Yeah.
in A Quiet Place Part 3. Like, dude's blown up, man.
I love his character in 28 Years Later
Yeah.
and
Yep.
Bone Temple, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
he's
yeah,
done.
he's been in a lot of movies, but nothing really,
He's been in some fucking heavy hitters, that's for
Oh, he
sure.
was in Eden Lake. I think he was the bad guy in that, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's I love him, man. He's so good.
Yeah, he's really good. I have three honorable mentions.
Okay.
Delroy Lindo
Yes, sir.
played Slim. Omar Benson Miller played Cornbread.
Yep.
And Jamie Lawson. I can't remember who she played. Pearlene. Pearlene.
Yep.
She is a singer as well. She
Yeah.
did all her songs in the movie too. I don't know. Do you have anyone else?
I just want to give a shout out to Autumn Derold Arkapow Paw. She became the first woman to ever win Best Cinematographer at the Oscars.
Okay. Shit. Good for
So,
her.
pretty big moment
Yeah,
for
that's huge.
the females everywhere.
Yeah.
And rightfully deserved. This movie
Oh, for sure.
looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, the way this movie was shot was so cool.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler's wife is his producer and editor as well, so it's kind of like a Robert Rodriguez kind of thing with his wife.
Yeah, same with our boy
You're gonna say who I meant to say. From Mad
fucking
Max.
yes.
Oh my God.
George Miller.
George Miller. Jesus
I
Christ.
don't know how that popped in my head, but
That's who I meant to say, not Robert Rodriguez.
that's
Maybe
what
his
kind
wife
of
did it too, but
hey, maybe. Yeah.
yeah, she deserves some credit too, because she did a great job with the editing of this movie.
Yeah.
All right. Kick it off, baby.
Let's do it. This is a movie that I wish I saw in the movie theater
100%.
with a packed crowd. I think it just would have been just incredible to watch in the movie theater.
I think Bytown needs to show this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they did already, but yeah.
But like, don't they have didn't because they did a Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, this isn't on the same vein for like musical style or anything, but
Right, yeah, I get you.
I feel like
Yeah.
they could do like some sort of music night with this movie, and it'd be really
100%.
cool.
Yeah, so the movie opens up. I believe the person narrating is Mary, I think. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my guess. 'Cause she's talking about Feely and fire keepers and griots, and a griot apparently are West African historians, storytellers, musicians, and poets who preserve their community's cultural legacy through generations.
Okay.
Which, that one scene later on in the movie, the one music scene,
Yeah.
obviously that is a huge scene in this movie, very important scene, I think. And she talks about how, these musicians and stuff, they heal communities, but they also attract evil, which is basically what Sammy is doing in this movie.
Yeah, it's yeah, for sure.
So the movie takes place in 1932 in Mississippi. The movie opens up with what's the style of like a movie, like whenever it opens up with like the end of the movie and then it kind of like goes back, or maybe I'm thinking of like when it starts from the end and goes backwards.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know. I don't have a name for it.
Yeah, but yeah, so it opens up with Sammy driving a car. He's all beat up, has a fucking giant scratch on his face. He has a broken guitar. He walks into his dad's church, and his dad's is the pastor at this little church. And so his dad comes up, whatever. Sammy's not really talking too much. He has a broken guitar. And then it cuts to one day earlier. We meet Smoke and Stack. They are twins, or as they like to say, distant cousins. Smoke is the one that wears a blue hat with kind of a blue undershirt, and Stack wears the red hat. And I think Stack has the gold tooth in the front of his mouth as well, I believe.
Yes, I think so.
Stack kind of seems like the more hard, not hardcore, but like more intimidating, like brother, I think,
Yeah.
a little bit.
Not to cut you off, but going back to your question, it's called a framing device or a frame story.
Okay.
Or it can also be referred to as in media res, which in Latin stands for in the midst of things.
Okay, cool. So they are buying a old building from a rich white guy who is probably a KKK member or a previous KKK member. His name is Hogwood. I mean,
He's
with a name like
definitely,
that, yeah.
definitely got some affiliates.
It cuts back to Sammy, and his dad wants Sammy to help him with a sermon the next day, and he says to Sammy, Sammy says they gotta go, and then his dad's like, "Oh, you're going to play music again?" And his dad says, "You keep dancing with the devil, one day it's gonna follow you home." And that's exactly what happens.
I love that line too.
Yeah,
Such a good line.
me too. And whenever Stack and Smoke are buying this, they tell the white guy, like, if any of you white folk come across our line, we're gonna fucking kill yous.
Yeah.
So they're not intimidated at all. They came from Chicago. They worked with the mafia, I guess, and around that time was the big guy in Chicago there. I forget his name. Did you say something?
I was just gonna say I love these characters. I think they're so well written, and the way that Michael B. Jordan created both of these characters on screen, I think he just did a fucking incredible job with Smoke and Stack. And like you said, one's kind of like the muscle, like they're both the muscle, but like one's kind of more, I don't know, one's more level-headed and the other
Like
one's more.
aggressive, kind of.
So they complement each other really well, and I don't know, I love what they were able to do with these two characters with one actor on screen.
So they pick up Sammy. They're going to get a truck with all their supplies. They hit a truck in the little woods there. I love the scene when they kill the rattlesnake. This kind of shows, they're not scared of anything. They're opening the juke joint. They're in town getting supplies. So the brothers split up. Smoke is going to find Mary to get her to come and cook for them. And then Stack is going into town with Sammy. He needs to go get the entertainment. They're going to find Delta Slim, and then also pick up Cornbread as well. So while he's in town, he pays a girl to watch the truck for him. And I love this scene because he goes up to the girl and he's like, "You heard of the Smokestack twins?" She's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm him." And then she gets scared and he's like, "Oh, no, don't be scared." Like, he's like, "See this truck right here? I want you to watch it. I'll pay you 10 cents for every minute or something like that." And she's like, "Okay." And he's like, "Now, see here. Now we're in a no negotiation. You say a number to me." And he's like teaching her like how to negotiate. I thought it's so good.
He's like, give me a number, and she goes 50 cents, and he's like, I'll do t he goes, I'll do 20. She's like, immediately she's just like, all right, yeah.
But I just love this whole introduction. Like, this whole town kind of knows him. They all have like friends, like, and I love that it's like not just like just have like black friends. Like, he has the owners of the grocery store, like a Chinese couple or Korean or whatever, and like they're like really good friends, haven't seen each other in a while. And he wants the wife, who I believe her name is
Grace.
Grace, to make a sign, do stuff like that, and he's buying some supplies for tonight. And two guys are breaking into the truck, and I love he just shoots one guy in the ass immediately. The guy turns around, he's like, "Oh, Stack, what are you doing here?" And they like know each other, and yeah, they ends up shooting the other guy in the leg, and that's just so funny.
These brothers are just fucking notorious in this town. Everybody knows who they are, and everybody's like not afraid of them. Some people are afraid of them, obviously, but like everybody respects them in this town.
Because the guy asks, like, "Why'd you shoot me?" And he's like, "Well, I wasn't gonna let you spread word that you like one up the Smokestack twins or something like that."
He's like, I didn't know it was you. And then the girl's like, bullshit, I fucking told you.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're getting the sign made. Stack's going to find the entertainment. We find Delta Slim. He's playing harmonica, clearly loves to drink. And I love the way the writing in this movie, like it, and the way like his accent is, I just love this kind of era. He entices Delta with Irish beer, takes a sip in Delta's face. He's like, whoa, like,
Yeah.
and Stack just like smiling. He's like, I got 500 more. I'll
Yeah.
pay you double whatever the other place is, plus as much beer as you can drink. And
Yeah.
immediately he like signs up, and then he like tells Cornbread or Delta that Sammy's also a blues player, and then they play together, kind of get a, you know, a thing of this. Also, one scene I didn't mention either. Whenever Stack and Sammy are driving through the field towards town, Sammy has a guitar with him, and Stack is like, well, you have that guitar. Like, can you play? Like, they're cousins, but they haven't seen each other in a long time, right? And man, Sammy's voice is so fucking good,
So
man.
good, man.
And I love Stack's reaction. He like, doesn't know what to expect, right? And then
Yeah.
he looks at him, he's like, holy shit. He's like, we're gonna
Yeah.
make a shit ton of money with that. Yeah, like I listen to this soundtrack so fucking much. Like,
Yeah.
it's so good. In the back of the train station, we see Pearlene kind of introduce herself to Sammy, or not introduced, but like is like flirting with him. He's flirting with her, and she's like, oh, I'm married, but she's still like, you know, flirt with him. And
Yeah.
he's like, we'll come to the juke joint tonight. And she's like, you know, maybe. Then we meet, oh, sorry, Mary. Sorry, I got it mixed up. Mary is Hailee Steinfeld.
Yes.
I think it's Annie that might be narrating the movie.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah,
Yeah.
I got the names mixed up.
Yeah.
And I love this interaction too, because like Sammy's like, it's a white girl staring at you, and Sax says something. He's like, she's coming this way, and then immediately just like, yeah, just goes off. And
Yeah.
they had some sort of relationship before. Stack basically bought her like a husband, like a white husband and a farm, and she didn't want any of that. And yeah,
Yeah.
I love Hailee Steinfeld's character in this, because she's like a really white girl and she wants this black man. Like, it's the 1930s, like it's not really something that I'm sure wasn't around that much back then, but she said, I didn't want a fucking white man. I want a black man. I want you.
Yeah.
And so they pick up Cornbread, and another, there's so many good scenes in this movie, man. So Cornbread is picking cotton with his wife, and I love Stack's kind of interaction with him. He like kind of talks shit about him, and then talks shit about his wife. And Cornbread's like, I'll fucking kick your ass. And he's like, well, all the money that your husband's given up. And then the wife's like, well, what is it? And yeah, Stack says like, well, fuck your wife too.
I love Omar Benson Miller. I think
Oh,
he's
me
so
too. I
great.
loved him in Ballers.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So Stack has everything he needs. Now we cut to Smoke, who is going to see, I don't know if it's his ex-wife or girlfriend, Annie, but I think they had a kid together, a baby that passed away. She's like some sort of like, I don't want to say like voodoo woman, but she's like
But
something with
kind
like
of, yeah.
kind of like black magic. She sells like oddities and trinkets and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
And he has like a mojo bag that she gave him.
So yeah, he wants her to cook for them. And then they kind of like have this moment, you know, he says, he asks her like, come cook for us. And she just kind of stares at him. And then he's like, you want me to say it? and he says, you know, I miss you and I love you, and then end up having sex together. So kind of like weird like relationship, like they're kind of together but not together, it seems.
You can tell that, like, whatever they had was just like, it was more than just like boyfriend and girlfriend, or like it, they almost feel like they're soulmates. Like they just have so much love and respect for each other that, like, even if they're not together, like, they're just like, they are each other's people kind of thing.
Because she calls him by his real name, which I forget what it is, but
He's either Elijah or Smoke is Elijah.
So yeah, now everyone's on their way to the juke joint setup. And first time I watched this movie, like I kind of heard it was a vampire movie, but like up to this point, you're like, this is just like a fucking, you know, fun musical time. And then as soon as it cuts to the dusk and we see Remick drop from the sky, he's kind of like burning a bit. And we get, every time Remick shows up, we get that like metal like riff that like dun, dun, dun. It's like so fucking sick. The one thing I wish I got more in this movie is he calls them the Choctaw or the Injuns. I wish we got more kind of backstory or more time with them, because they're basically, they don't say it, but they seem like vampire hunters, right?
I don't know if you saw the trivia or not on IMDb for the Choctaw.
No.
So it's a long piece of trivia, but I'm
It's
gonna
okay. It's
read it.
okay. Yeah.
So it says it's particularly significant that Remick is introduced fleeing from Choctaw hunters. Not only is the movie set in the historic Choctaw homeland, there's a long history of cooperation between the Choctaw and Native America more broadly and the Irish. So the Irish potato famine occurred 16 years after the Choctaw, Cherokee, Muscogee, Seminole, and Chickasaw people were forced to walk the Trail of Tears. Knowing tragedy and hunger themselves, Choctaw and Cherokee survivors donated hundreds of dollars to support famine relief. In 2017, Ireland erected the Kindred Spirits sculpture in acknowledgement of friendship between the two peoples, with a companion sculpture called Eternal Heart installed on Choctaw land in 2024. When the coronavirus pandemic began in 2020, and the Navajo and Hopi nations were hit especially hard, Ireland sent a $2 million donation, accrediting it to the Choctaw kindness in their time of need.
Damn.
Yeah, man, it's so cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just like it's a really neat thing that Coogler put into this movie. Much like Robert Eggers, like where he does his due diligence and he researches the fuck out of everything that he makes. I feel like Coogler did so much research for this movie and just included so many little things that like people wouldn't really pick up on. I just like I read that piece of trivia and I was like, oh man, that is so fucking cool. Because Jack O'Connell is he's Irish, so it was perfect.
So you don't get that much time with them, but you know, they come up to the house and Bert and I don't remember the wife's
Joan.
name, Joan. They open it up and you can see that they have like KKK whatever uniforms in
Memorabilia.
their house, whatever. And the main guy like says, did anyone come here? And you know, they have fucking shotguns or whatever, and they're like, no. And I think it's Joan that just answers, and he's like, is the person in your house now? And she's, you know, not really telling him. And then one of the Choctaw says, you know, it's getting dark, we better get going. And he says, you know, God bless you, good luck. And they just drive away because it's starting to get dark. And I don't know 'Cause I picked this up. I don't know if it means anything, but there's a couple of scenes where there's like three like vultures like around in the sky at a couple of scenes.
Because vultures are scavengers, right? So they circle around the dead or injured.
Because there's vultures at the beginning whenever Sammy comes to the church. And then there's vultures at this point too. So
Yeah,
I don't know if it,
it's
yeah.
gotta mean something.
So she closes the door, she goes in, she's calling for Bert, and it's like dark, and I just love this fucking intro to Vampiremic, man. It's so chilling, it's so good. And Jack O'Connell just has like the voice and just that demeanor like on point. Like his character in Bone Temple, like he's so good, man. She like turns in and Remick's just like sitting there in the dark in the rocking chair, and she sees Bert on the ground, and then his eyes just turn red, and it's so creepy. And I saw in a quick interview that a TikToker was interviewing him, and he was asking about that. And I haven't watched it yet, but I do have it in 4K now. Is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish?
Right, yes.
I guess the main character, Death, his like eyes turn red. So that's where Coogler got it from.
I saw that in the trivia on IMDb. What a
And then
fucking movie to draw inspiration from for this movie.
I know, right? Yeah, Bert is now a vampire, and yeah, I just love Remick, man. So Club Juke is now open. Cornbread is the bodyguard. Mary shows up. I love this introduction whenever Mary shows up and Cornbread's like, oh, I don't think you should be here, honey. And she like says something and he's like, is that Mary? Holy shit.
Yeah, because she's the only white girl there.
Smoke wants Mary gone. I don't know the reasoning behind why Smoke doesn't like Mary. It doesn't really go into that too much.
Well, it feels like there's like some sort of bad blood, like something happened between her and Stack, or yeah, because Smoke's with Annie and Stack was with Mary, right?
Because I think Mary wanted kids and stuff, right? So maybe Smoke or Steven Stack didn't want that.
Maybe Stack had a pr or Smoke had a problem with her because she's white and
Maybe,
had a
yeah.
problem with her and Stack having a relationship.
Yep. Yeah, so we get Sammy performing his first song, the song he performed at the Oscars. It's just so good.
I forgot he performed at the Oscars. That's right.
And then the scene I mentioned before, we get Delta. It cuts back between like Sammy saying and then like Delta talking to Sammy and like explaining the blues and showing the different musicians from every generation. Like I mentioned, the griot. And when I first saw this scene, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, there's like random people popping up, but then like as it got on and like the music builds up and you're just seeing all the different like generations and stuff of this culture that, and the narration is talking about how like people from like back in the day inspire the next generation to like grow and like change.
And that's the way the music is, man. Like every generation inspires the next generation for things to come. And like there's certain like baselines that have originated from like the 40s and 50s. And now they're like the most popular bass lines in rap music now. And like rappers will take like certain metal songs from like the 70s and 80s and they'll incorporate those into their music. And it's just like the way that bands or musicians or rappers will like sort of sample previous things. Like there's so much inspiration in music through the generations that like even still now they're still doing it.
So Remick is here again. We see him kind of creep up with the red eyes again. We cut back into the juke joint. Pearlane is there, and Sammy is getting with her. I love this little thing they have, and he's like, "Oh, I want to try some." Like, goes down her, and he's like, "Oh, Sammy, like, I walked here. Like, let me clean up first." And he's just like, "I just want to taste you. Like, you're beautiful." And the twins hear it going on, and yeah.
Like, how do you say no to Sammy when he has that voice?
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, like, that
Exactly.
is just fucking smooth as butter.
Yeah. The traveling band is here. We are Remick, Joan, and Bert. They're playing their
I love
little
it.
banjo and
Yeah.
shit.
They're like, we're musicians too.
Yeah. So they come up to the door, they get the twins, and Remick's just like, "Oh, I want to come in, and we're musicians too." And then they start playing Pick Poor Robin Clean, and it's so I love Stack's reaction. He's like, Smiley's like, "Oh yeah," and then Smoke's like, "Nah, like, get the fuck out of here, yeah, so that was great. And they kick him out, and like Remick's like, "All right, well, we're just gonna walk real slow just in case you change your mind."
Yeah. And like you have the classic vampire trope too, right? Where they need to be invited in.
Yeah.
So like they can't force themselves in, they have to be invited.
Yeah, so later on in the movie, Mary decides that she's gonna go talk to Remick. What was her reasoning for going out there, just to kind of see like what their story was like?
I think she feels bad that they got kicked out.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, they just want to come and be a part of all this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they're going out there, and they're just playing music, just waving in the back in the dark, just chilling. Sits down, and Remick gives her some money, and it's like the solid gold, very old. And Mary's like, "What is this?" And Remick's like, "Ah, it's from a time way, way past. So obviously it's like gold from some European country, I'm guessing, or something way
Yeah,
back in the day."
possibly Ireland.
And I love, because Remick, he's the only vampire we see other than the people that he turns, but he's like the main vampire. So he has so much like knowledge in his head. Like, whenever he bites someone, he gains their knowledge, and I think
Their memories.
their memories, and also I think their talents too, right? Because he wants Sammy, I think, right? And he tells Mary, "If I was a few days earlier, I could have saved your mother." And he's like, "I can save you too." And then Mary gets kind of creeped out, and she walks away. And I love this scene, because she's walking, and you just see like Remick just float up in the air, and then it cuts back into Pearlene sitting and dancing, and you're like, "Oh shit. Oh shit." Yeah, so did you think for sure Mary was a vampire? Like, whenever she
Once
comes
she
up to the door?
got back, 'cause she's asking for permission to get in too, right? Like obviously there's a very, very strong implication whenever we see Remick kind of floating in the air behind her.
So she gets inside, she gets Stack in the room. They're kind of making love. And then Cornbread's going to take a piss. This scene is so fucking funny. Oh man. He's like in the tree, and all you hear is like, it's like big boy, or like some like weird things, and he's like looking around. It's so funny. There's a guy cheating a dice. So I love this scene, because like this guy cheating a dice, he's like trying to he does cut someone, and then it's trying to cut Smoke or Stack. I guess it's Smoke. And he's like, "Okay, boys, get him." And they're like kicking him, and then like Pearlene gets into like this like jumping kind of thing where she's like stomping the
Yeah,
ground and
stomping around,
like
yeah.
it's like stomping like her and then also they're stomping this guy.
Yeah. It went in tune with the music. It was really cool.
The scene where fucking Mary spits in Stack's mouth is fucking disgusting. Oh my God, it's so gross.
I love it because she's drooling and he goes, "You're drooling." And she's like, "Do you want some?" And then she just drools a big globber down into his mouth. Yeah. You wouldn't do that with Haley Steinfeld?
No,
No?
I don't think so. So meanwhile, Smoke is telling Sammy, hey, go get Stack. So he knocks on the door, he's like, I'm coming in, opens the door. He thinks they're having, well, they are.
They were at this point, I think.
Do you think that she bit him at this point or that they're just
No.
having sex?
I think they were just fooling around at this point. Because she's still kind of up a bit. Like she's straddling him, like cowgirl style. And she was still kind of leaned up a bit. But then whenever they come back, she's like right hunched over and down. So I think between that first door opening and whenever they come back, I think that's whenever she started fucking him up.
So they come back in with Sammy and Smoke and she rips out his fucking throat. And Smoke kind of can't believe it, right? She gets up.
I love this.
He shoots her like 10 times, 8 times, and then she just fucking runs away and she's like, we're gonna kill y'all.
I love whenever she stands up and she's got blood all over her mouth and it's dripping all down her front. And she's like, I swear it's not what it looks like. It's like, okay, well, what is it then?
So everyone's leaving except for like the main crew. So we got like Grace, Annie,
Yeah.
Smoke, Sammy, Pearlene,
Yeah.
Delta.
Yeah.
I think that's
I think that.
that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah. Bo, did you say Bone Grace? Bone Grace are still there too.
Oh yeah, Bo is here for now.
Yeah.
Everyone else is leaving, and then Annie doesn't know exactly what's going on. She thinks it's something. She doesn't say vampires yet. She says a haint,
They're haints.
which I didn't look up.
They're spirits. So last year I read the Informatory or the Reformatory. Highly fucking recommend that book. From Tenerife Dhu, I think is the author's name. But they call them haints in that movie or in that book. And yeah, they're spirits basically.
So she's like, we gotta move his body outside. Like she knows something's up, obviously. And Smoke is still in this kind of state. Like this is his fucking brother, right? His twin brother.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to move him. He's like, no. Lock him in the room. So Chow's leaving. He's going to get the car. Or Bo's going to get the car. Sorry.
Yeah. Bo Chow.
The Chows are leaving. He's going to warm the car up or something. And well, any scene with fucking Cornbread, just this whole
He's
scene
so
just
good.
kills me.
Yeah.
So Cornbread comes to the door. And he's like acting all like jolly, like
Yeah.
happy, and he's like,
Overselling it.
yeah, he's like, all right, let me in. And he's like does like a walk up, and then he's like, hold on, like why do you need to ask to come in? And he goes on this like kind of spiel, and
Yeah.
he's like keeps talking to Smoke, and then he's like, no, I'm talking to you. It just goes on forever. And then Smoke's like, well, you didn't ask to be let in any other, like any time throughout the night. And then he's like, okay, well, am I gonna at least get paid? And then Smoke looks at Annie and he's like, be careful. And as soon as he like reaches over, he just
Yeah.
fucking goes nuts, tries to bite him, and Smoke is ready. He has the gun out, right?
Yeah.
And just like shoots his face off, his jaws fucking hanging,
Fucking
and
wild.
he's a scary ass fucking zombie. Like,
Vampire.
okay, whatever. I had in my mind, I was gonna say after this, he reminds me of the zombie from Land of the Dead. What was the one with the city in the middle? I think that was Land of the
Think it
Dead.
was Land of the Dead. Is that the one with Ving Rhames?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way over there. I can't reach it. But I'm pretty sure it had like a fucking tall black jacked fucking zombie in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they close the door, lock it, obviously. Then we hear Stack knocking on the door. They won't let him out. And then he just fucking busts the door down on top of Sammy. And he goes to bite someone, and then and he comes in and just throws something on him, and he fucking gets hurt, runs off. And they're like, "What the fuck was that?" And she's like, "Pickled garlic." And then this is where she's like, they're fucking vampires, they're not haints.
And we get a whole montage of them getting ready to fight them all.
And Grace is losing her mind. She wants to leave, but they say they have to wait till sunrise, it'll get ready for the fight. Before the fight, Annie says to Smoke, if she gets bit, for him to kill her before she turns.
Yes.
Remick and all of them start playing music. And this is by far my favorite song in the movie. I can't stop
Oh,
listening to this
yeah.
song. It's the Irish like fucking jig song.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
It's so catchy, man. I play it all the time just at home with like Dancing with Theo and stuff. That same TikToker, he interviewed Cornbread, and I guess that this scene was like way longer than it was in the movie.
Okay.
So I guess they cut a bunch out.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to see.
It's called The Rocky Road to Dublin. And when Jack O'Connell got to this point in the script, this was what sold him on the script. Because this song was a childhood favorite of his, and he'd always wanted to do a jig to
Really?
it in a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this scene because we got like, it's like dark, and it's kind of funny because like, it's a different culture. Like they're black people, right? And this is like an Irish song. So like seeing them, like especially Cornbread, just like dancing around in it, and then we get Remick like in the middle of the thing doing the jig, and everyone else around him is like getting pumped up. We see Smoke like getting pumped up, singing the song, and it's just a great scene, man.
It's so much fun. I gotta listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah,
Because
I was
I've
in.
listened to songs here and there, but.
And we get a kind of the thing kind of scene in this movie, because they all are eating garlic to see,
Yeah, that's
because
true, actually.
they find, well, they think a dead guy, in the barn, and they're like, well, who the fuck killed this guy? They throw him outside. And so they go around, they eat garlic. Delta is like starts choking, and they think he's gonna turn. He's like, I've heard he says, but none of them kind of burn up. And then someone says, are you sure that was blood? And they go over, and it was like a spilled drink or something like that. And then the guy outside wakes up, and the door's locked, and he's like, "Fucking Smoke, let me in. What's going on?" And then he gets tackled by Cornbread, vampire Cornbread, and killed. And then we see Bo come up, and he's like, "All right, Grace, come on, let's go. Got the car warmed up." And she wants to go, but everyone else is like, "Don't fucking go." And then
Because
you see
something's just slightly off.
you see Cornbread eating this guy, and she looks over, and he's like, "Oh, that guy? Ah, Cornbread. Don't worry about him. He's just hungry." And it's like so creepy, man. So
Yeah.
creepy. So they kind of stop her from leaving. Are you on Grace's side for this? Like, the first
What
time
do
I was
you,
angry, like the first time I was angry with her because
when she
she
goes out?
fucking, no, she yells, "Come on, motherfuckers, come on in."
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what starts this whole thing.
That's
Like,
true, yeah.
do you think they could have survived until, like, if she didn't invite them in, do you think,
Well, yeah.
like, there's no way for them to get in, right?
No, they have to be invited in. So how would they have gotten in?
Yeah.
So yeah, I she fucked them all over.
Yeah.
But like on the same side, she was afraid because Remick comes up behind Bo and he goes, "I know everything about you. I know everything, like I've read his thoughts." He's like, "I
Yeah.
even know how something's like some sexual act. I can't remember what it was that he said." He's like, "I even know how you like that."
Yeah.
And he goes, "If you don't let us in, then we're gonna go pay a visit to their daughter." I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when Grace snaps.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, in a sense, you can kind of understand where she's coming from, but like, you just put all of these people's lives at risk.
Yeah.
And then ultimately died in the end, anyways.
I did love whenever Bo is talking to Grace and then Remick comes up and he's talking to them. And I have a question for you. Is Remick a bad guy? Like, yes, he kills people obviously and turns into vampires. But his like explanation, like he calls it a new clan, but I don't think he means it by like, you know, like the Ku Klux Klan, like racist people. Like he just wants to gather people that have like different talents and like different cultures to build a community of his own. But at the time, same time, it's kind of fucked up, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say something fucked up right now and might get
Okay.
some flack for it. It's kind of like Hitler.
I didn't expect that.
Don't get me wrong. Hitler was an evil motherfucker. But what he was doing in his fucked up mind, he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think Remick is kind of on that sort of wavelength where he thinks he's doing the right thing for his people, for his community, for his
Culture.
culture, his brethren, his species now because he's a
Yeah.
vampire. So like he's trying to start a community of vampires so that they can just kind of be who they are.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, like you gotta fucking kill people and turn them into vampires, right?
Yeah,
So
because
like,
he's trying to make his own community, so I think he wants like different
yeah, for
cultures
sure.
and, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, that's cool, but like you're
Yeah.
killing people to get this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fucked up, but in his mind, he is doing something good.
Yeah.
Just like Hitler.
So are you glad that Coogler decided to just have Remick like start out on his own? Like he didn't like we see him obviously get Bert and Joan, but like would you rather just see like another one or two vampires with him from the start or like
No, I think it's cool. I
yeah.
think it's really cool that he started out on his own and then he gets a lot of fucking people by the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, he does, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of neat. I want to know who changed him or who turned him.
Yeah.
Like, get a little Remick backstory. That'd be kind of cool.
Because he's pretty fucking powerful.
Yeah, he's like their alpha, right?
Like he has these fucking massive fingers and like claws and shit.
So, I would like to see a little bit of a backstory on him and see where he came from and who turned him. But no, I think it's a cool idea that he was kind
Yeah.
of a lone ranger at the start of the movie.
Yeah. So yeah, this chaos begins. We see just Remick boot open the fucking big like barn doors, and then just chaos, just everything happening. Grace ends up stabbing Beau, and then he catches on fire or something like that. She burns up with him. I love when they first open the door and she like has the I can't think of the fucking bottle with it's on fire.
Molotov.
Molotov. And she chucks it at fucking Remick. He just like bats it away like nothing. Yeah, so chaos. Annie says that the other vampires feel Remick's pain whenever he is hit or something. Annie ends up getting bit by Stack, and then we see Smoke killing Annie, and Remick and Stack are like all crying whenever Annie dies, right? Because they want her as a vampire, obviously.
I feel bad for Smoke in this scene, 'cause his brother, who is like his number one, like this is the person that he loves the most, is the one to not kill her, but he's the one to attack like the love of his life. So he says like, "No, not you. Like, why has it got to be you?" kind of thing. So I don't know. It was just like, it was a really sad scene.
One thing I don't really understand with this scene is everyone's kind of dying, getting fucked up. At one point, all the vampires leave. I feel like there was way more vampires than the people inside. Like, I don't know. I felt like the vampires like would have the upper hand on them. Like, I don't know why Remick and them all fled.
I don't
We
know
see
if they
them come back.
fled.
We see them come back, obviously, but
Yeah. Like, what? Maybe they're just trying to regroup.
maybe.
But also, like, I feel like vampires, like these ones kind of felt like hunters almost. So if they, like, made them think that they left or ran away, but then once everybody leaves, then they all come back and kind of it's more of like a chase than it is just a kind of beat down inside this
That's fair.
juke joint.
So they come back. Smoke, Sammy, and Pearline are running upstairs, and then we see Delta comes down and he ends up cutting his like arm, and then he's kind of distracting a bunch of other vampires that end up killing him, ripping apart. There's like 10 of them.
One thing I didn't like, why didn't he try and fight any of these ones? Like, why didn't he try and kill some of these guys?
Mean, Delta's like 70 years old, and
I know, but still, like,
no, he doesn't try at all.
you've sliced your arm wide open so that they're all attracted to you. Like, you might as well take some of them out.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, so Delta dies. Pearline ends up getting bit. And then she sends Sammy away outside. I love if Sammy goes outside and just falls like 10 feet to the ground. So we get Smoke and Stack fighting, and then we get Sammy and Rembik fighting. Stack tries to bite Smoke, can't do it. And then it cuts away to Sammy and Remick. They're in this like kind of pond thing fighting, and then we see like the full Remick kind of form, I guess. Like he has these fucking massive hands and claws. He see him hit Sammy in the face, and then he has holding Sammy's like going on about like how he's excited to have Sammy join his kind of his family. And then Sammy grabs the guitar and has this like
Fucking love
silver
this.
metal, huh?
I said, I fucking love this part.
Oh, silver metal, like, I don't know, interior kind of thing, like hits him. And then this, like, it looks like a saw blade, honestly, gets stuck in Remick's head, and he just like fucking pulls it out. And everyone's like screaming, and then Smoke ends up getting stabbed, or Smoke stabbed Remick in the heart,
Yeah.
and he burns up. Everyone starts burning, and we see like Remick like fucking tornado up into the sky. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the next morning, Smoke is sending Sammy home. He's getting ready for an ambush. He knows that it's coming, right? He has all these guns buried in the ground, stuff like that. We see Hogwood and all his fucking clan buddies come up, and then we hear just fucking sniper shots coming. He and Smoke is just fucking all these guys up. Kills most of them, and then there's a few getting away, and then we see Smoke get shot in the abdomen. And then he's kind of dying, throws a grenade into the fucking truck, which is
Love it.
wild.
Yeah.
He's dying. Hogwood's there, dying in front of him too, and then he sees Annie and his kid there, and she's like kind of saying, like, oh, well, I'm here with, your son. Come join us, be with us. And then he just fucking shoots Hogwood from like point blank. And then I assume that Smoke dies, right?
Yeah. That was my assumption too.
And that's the end of the movie.
Kinda.
Yeah, kind of. That's when the credits start to roll.
Yeah.
But the credits are now, there's a band playing, and it's Chicago 1992. And I only noticed this the second time I watched it, but did you notice the name of the club?
No.
It was called Perlines.
Oh, was it? Oh, I like that. That's cool.
So we get a very, very older Sammy. He's got the scar, still playing guitar. And he's sitting at the bar, and then one of the bodyguards comes up and says, hey, there's two people here asking to come in and see you. And he's like, okay, yeah, let him in. And in fucking walks Mary and Stack.
All fucking decked out in their 90s gear.
I think they look amazing. Like, I love this scene, man.
Yeah, it's good.
And Stack is talking with them. I love whenever the bartender looks at Mary and she just smiles and has like the fans in, and he's like, I'm
Yeah.
getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And Stack is kind of talking to Sammy, and he like sniffs Sammy, and he's like, oh, you're getting pretty close, eh? You got not too long left. And he's like, I could basically bite you and turn to you, and you could live forever and just keep playing music all your life. And then Sammy says something like, I don't know, I'm ready to, I'm sick of this place, or I've along those lines.
Yeah.
And then we see Marion Stack leave, and that's it.
I really, really, really like this scene
Me too.
because it's just like it's a mutual respect, which is weird. Like, it's weird to see Sammy give them respect. Because realistically, fucking Smoke could have just taken him whether he wanted to or not. So it was cool to see Smoke and Mary just be like, all right, fine. If you don't want to, then we'll just leave.
With this scene that Coogler put in here, do you think he put this scene in to show that there could be a sequel, or that no, we don't need a sequel, the story's wrapped up?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, that's what I feel too.
I if there's a sequel, I'm not gonna say I'm gonna be disappointed, but this movie does not need a sequel whatsoever. I think they
No.
wrapped it up perfectly. And a sequel would just be kind of silly at this point. Just let it be what it is.
Anything else?
One question I do have. So all of the other vampires die whenever Remick dies. So why do Smoke and Mary not?
Oh, because they mention it, and they show what happened too.
Do they?
Yeah, they run away in the dark because
So do they all die because the sun starts coming up?
yes.
That's why they all died. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I think it's Annie or someone narrating. Oh no, Stack asks. No, Sammy asks Stack. He says, "Oh, I guess smoke didn't kill you." And then Stack tells him,
Right.
"I made a deal with smoke that I wouldn't come after you if he let him go." So Smoke let Stack go, and obviously Mary left too. And you see them running away, in the dark.
Do you?
Yeah, it
Okay.
shows it very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, so they leave before,
All right.
the sun comes up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because in my mind, I was thinking that they all died like as soon as Remick died. But yeah, the sun was coming up, so
No, because you see them all running towards the
that.
barn to get inside before the sun comes.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, I have nothing.
Cool. Cool. Well,
Oh, wait. Sorry. I'm
yes.
sorry. Before or whenever Smoke and Mary are leaving, Sammy says that although he still has nightmares about that evening, up until sunset, it was the best day of his life. And Stack says, I agree because it was the last time that I saw my brother and the sun. And I was like, oh man, what a fucking way to close this movie out. It was just, it was that end line was just perfect. Now I'm done.
All right, well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right, how'd you rate this movie?
This is a 5 out of 5 movie for me. This is the third time I've seen it. I just think it's phenomenal. I think it's Coogler's best by far. I mean, just look at all the accolades it's won. Like, it's crazy.
Broke records, man.
Broke records. I mean, where do I even start? Like, there's nothing I can say bad about this movie, or even that I dislike a little bit. Like, it's just the acting's phenomenal. I forgot to mention this. I don't know if it's just the 4K I watched, but whenever it cuts from certain scenes to whenever they're outside in the daytime, it's the full screen. And then when
Yeah.
it cuts to the inside the juke joint, it goes back to this widescreen look.
That's true. Yeah.
I love that. Obviously, the cinematography is great. Acting's fantastic. Soundtrack and score, I think, is just phenomenal. This is one of the movies where, like, I have it on 4K, like the original kind of basic 4K, which
Yeah.
you mentioned doesn't have the commentary. I would buy multiple copies of this just for different special features.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I'm excited. I don't know what Coogler has in store next. I feel like I heard, but anyway, this was a fantastic movie, and I will definitely watch this again. And this movie's almost 2.5 hours. It doesn't feel like it at all. All right, what would you?
It's 5 out of 5 for me as well. I just like I said, the score is next level, and future movies need to take note. Miles Keaton has a voice that deserves every award available to singers and artists. I love the 1930s juke setting and the blues music. I said it's probably Michael B. Jordan's best performance, and the fact that he does play two characters in this movie just absolutely adds to that. This movie fucking broke records. It has the most Oscar wins, most Oscar nominations. Like, it is just so fucking good in every aspect. Every character in this movie, from the leads all the way down to the extras, did such a good job with this movie. The people that are in the background that are dancing around, you don't know their names, you don't recognize their faces, you don't know who the fuck they are, but they gave it everything. And it's just, I said, it's a sweaty, sexy, creepy, bopping great time. And this movie is a fucking perfect movie. It was my favorite movie from 2025. And then I put The Life of Chuck ahead of it.
Damn.
After this second watch, this is only my second time watching it. After this second watch, I think it's going to move back up into the first place.
Yeah, that was the same with me. Like, I had one battle after another as my favorite.
Yeah.
And then when I watched the second time, I was like, yeah, no, this is my favorite film from last year.
Yeah. And like this needs to be in discussions of being like the in the top 10 of the last decade for sure.
This is like kind of Get Out
Yeah.
vibes,
Yeah. It's a
right?
generational movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, we're only going to get this type of movie like every once in a while. But yeah, I know like a lot of people, like, there's some people that don't like it. I got a buddy at work who watched the first 15 minutes and he just couldn't get into it. It
Oh, it's
is
like
like,
fucking your boy Evan.
yeah, that's, yeah. Evan didn't like it.
Love you,
So,
but fuck you.
yeah, love you, but fuck you. It's just like, and I get it because like the first 45 minutes to an hour is just kind of set up, right? It's
Yeah.
them collecting everything, but we're learning all the characters in this movie, and it gives you an appreciation of the characters, and it makes you care whenever they die.
Yeah.
Like, it's there's so many characters that die in this movie, and you feel for almost all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Coogler did such a good job with this movie, and I am very excited to see what he comes out with next, because all of his movies have been really good. But this is definitely his best. Anyways, now that we're done gushing all over it. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. This one's new enough, so it has an critics and an audience consensus. I'll start off with the critics, though. A rip-roaring fusion of masterful visual storytelling and toe-tapping music. Writer-director Ryan Coogler's first original blockbuster reveals the full scope of his singular imagination. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
94.
97.
See, I wasn't gonna go that high, but I was like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. That's on 438 reviews and an average score of 8.8 out of 10. The audience consensus? Ryan Coogler has not only delivered a deliciously vicious vampire hit, but an unapologetically black genre knockout ablaze with a killer cast and a cranked up score. And the audience have it at a 90% on 50,000 ratings and an average score of 4.5 out of 5, or a 9 out of 10.
Damn.
Yeah. It's Letterboxd Cat.
Letterboxd has a 4.1 out of 5, has 4.91 million watches.
Crazy.
Josh gave it a 4 out of 5. Our buddy Alan gave it a 4.5. Ian gave it a 4 out of 5. We know our boy Evan give like I don't know like a one and hasn't even seen the movie. I don't know how that works, but all the power to you. Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. Slash and Captain 4 out of 5. Screaming Cinema 4 out of 5. Nathan 3.5. Paul Walter Hauser a 3 out of 5. That's surprising.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right. It's kind of
Yeah.
all over the place, eh?
Yeah.
Surprising.
Anthony gave it a 4.5. So definitely the like the user like or my friends rating I guess would be higher
Yeah.
slightly, but yeah.
All right. Okay. You picked the movie, so I get to do a game.
Let's do it.
You're going to keep five and kick five vampire movies.
Hell yeah.
It's
This is gonna be impossible.
going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough.
For sure.
The first one I have is Lost Boys.
Okay. A good movie. Watched it when I was younger, but just one that I haven't watched consistently. The last time I watched it was when we did it at our pod, like, I
Okay.
don't know, like 3 years ago. So
Yeah.
I'll cut.
Cut. Okay. All right. I have Fright Night, but I didn't specify which one because I don't know if you've watched the original.
Yeah, I have the original.
Okay.
I've
So
seen both.
let's go with the original.
See, I've only seen that once, and that was only like a few years ago.
Do you want to go with the remake then?
I'm gonna cut either one, so it doesn't
Okay.
matter.
All right, perfect. You have two cuts.
Shit, okay.
Two cuts, no keeps. Interview with the Vampire.
That's a cut. It's I've
Damn.
seen it once a few years ago, and I don't know, it's kind of cheesy and weird.
All right.
Not a good start here. I feel like I should have kept one of those.
Nosferatu, the new one.
That's a keep.
Figured as much. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Lair of the White Worm.
Oh, that's a cut. Is that a vampire?
All
I guess it kind of
right,
is a vampire movie.
you
Okay, so I
got
got four cuts.
four cuts, one keep.
Jesus. Okay.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's an instant keep.
Kronos, not a traditional vampire movie, but it is considered a vampire movie.
That's the
It's
one that we did, right, with
Guillermo del Toro.
Hellboy's in it, right? I have one cut left and three keeps. Don't give me any clues. Don't give me any hints. So one cut and three keeps. So if I cut this, then I have to keep the last three movies. I have two in my mind that I think you'll say, but I don't know. You like to fuck with me a lot. I'll cut Kronos.
All right. You're good. You're good.
Okay.
From Dusk Till Dawn is a
Okay.
keep.
Yeah.
Blade is a keep.
I knew that was going to be one of them.
And Sinners is a
Okay. I
keep.
knew that was going to be one of them too.
So
All right.
I think you did it. I think The Lost Boys, man, that I
I
love
know.
that
I
movie.
probably should have kept that one, but where
Trying
are
to
my
think.
keeps?
Your keeps were Nosferatu, Bram Stoker's Dracula, From Dusk Till Dawn, Blade, and Sinners.
Okay.
That's a good keep
I think
list.
I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Yeah. You cut The Lost Boys, Fright Night, the original or the remake, either one you cut, Interview with the Vampire, Lair of the White Worm, and Kronos.
Okay, I'm good with it. I think I did pretty good.
All right. Yeah, your keep list
I
is
like
good.
that. Yeah.
All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
How did you rate the scares in this movie?
Not like that scary. Like, yes, this is technically a horror movie, but I consider it more like drama musical kind of. I don't know. I'll do like a 3 out of 5. Not really that scary, creepy for a couple scenes, but atmosphere is great. But yeah, not really that scary. Let's go 3 out of 5. Scary scene. I'll just go with the first introduction of Remick. Whenever Joan goes into the room, you just see him in the rocking chair and Bert's on the ground dead. And you just see the red eyes for the first time and him just talking. Yeah. So I'll go with that scene.
All right.
Would I survive? I'll say yes. Just because it has a lot of like the traditional vampire where you have to be let in. You know, and
You
if I have a
think you...
feeling that there's vampires around, then maybe I'll try not to travel at night. I don't know.
That's fair. Not leave the building.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
What about you?
Scares, I gave it a five.
Okay, yeah.
I said it's dark and creepy, some great vampire designs. The gore is fantastic. But like it could be higher, but we don't really see the brunt of it until about three quarters of the way through the movie. And then it's like all out chaos.
Yeah.
But I think the vampire design was really good and they were creepy and I don't know, give it a good vibe.
Yeah.
My scariest scene, I said when Cornbread gets shot through the face, and then
Yeah.
like, cause like he lays face down after he gets shot, and he stands back up, and his eyes are like fucking glowing, and his bottom jaw is just like hanging there,
Yeah.
and fucking, what's the name? Fucking Omar Benson, whatever the fuck his last name is, Miller. He is a fucking massive man.
Yeah.
He's huge. And like just the way he's standing there and his bottom jaw is just hanging
Yeah,
off of his face. I was like, oh my God, like That's so creepy looking.
Yeah.
Would I survive? I originally said no, but if I could convince everybody to just shut the fuck up and shut the doors and stay in this building until the
Yeah.
sun comes up, yeah, like you can survive for sure. So, yeah, I don't know. Say I'm on the fence. If I'm in the building, yeah, I could probably survive.
Okay.
All right, we can wrap this up.
Nice.
Can't let you have all the great 2025 picks.
Oh shit.
So I'm going to choose another 2025 movie, and I'm picking Weapons.
That was gonna be another pick of mine, yeah. All right.
It
I've been
was
wanting to
be
rewatch this too.
yeah, I
So
just got it on 4K.
I bought the 4K. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, me too.
So.
I had three in mind. It was going to be this, Long Legs, or Bring Her Back. So,
Okay.
Weapons is what I chose.
Nice.
But yeah, that's
Cool.
it. All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's also links to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thanks for listening to this one.
Thank you.
And
Talk to you next week or a couple weeks.
couple weeks.
Yeah. Cool.
Bye.